Okay. Let's open to Romans. Actually, we're going to start in Romans 1, but I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 first. There's a couple of things I want to handle. That'll help us to better understand this section in Romans that we're going to look at. On Sunday, we looked at some things regarding Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and which dealt with that which God has given to be believed, the foundation of believing, which produces believing. For the just shall live by
believing.
That's right. And that which God has given to be believed relates to his justice. And that foundation for believing is Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished. And that's what Romans concerns. It concerns Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. And so what I want to do is I want to continue in the book of Romans. You know, like I said before I turn this on, we're not going to get into great detail, but I want to get into enough detail where it's kind of just gives you a little handle on the book of Romans. It's because it's the foundational doctrine, it's what we're to believe. One of the things that we need to understand is there's a phrase that comes up in Romans. I dealt with it briefly on Sunday, and it's at times you'll see the phrase regarding Jew and Gentile. And Gentile, as we saw on Sunday and as we're going to see tonight, it's used in its context to refer to all who are not Judeans, all the nations. Okay. One of the things that's important to understand when you read what we're going to read tonight is that God puts man into three categories. And that's what we're going to read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Man puts man into a lot of categories, but not God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, it says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews or the Judeans, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Okay. All men fall into one of these three categories: Judean, Gentile, or Church of God. The Church of God are made up of those from among the Judeans or the Gentiles who have called upon the name of the Lord or believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing that we want to understand. The second thing that I want to handle briefly, because we're not going to go into it in great detail, because it does come up a lot in the book of Romans, and that is the wrath of God. The wrath of God, which we're going to read here, and it actually starts in verse 18 of chapter 1, which is where we're going to start, is it has to do with God's wrath and judgment upon unjust ones and is yet future. God's wrath relates to his justice. His standard for justice and righteousness is Jesus Christ and his accomplished work. What we're going to see in this section is man's state and his utter helplessness. And this is interesting. is that man is without excuse. He's without excuse and willfully rebels against God. Knowingly rebels against God. He rebels against God and that which is right and that which is just. We're going to see that it's impossible for man to attain righteousness before God on his own. It's without excuse to reject God's standard for righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. The wrath of God, which is yet future, is a period of time. And again, it has to do with judgment. It's spoken of a number of places in Scripture. I'm going to read you one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. But this is critical to understand. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In verse 9, it says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." That period of wrath it's going to be a dark day. It's going to be very heavy. But it is not something that the believer will ever face. And we're going to see that as we go through the book of Romans. But that's important to understand as we read, because there are those who, you know, they're confused about that and teach and believe as if we are going to go through the wrath. But that's one of the beautiful, amazing things about the justice of God that's in Jesus Christ. And part of that justice is that because we believed on him, we're completely delivered from any judgment. We've been judged in Christ. And the result of that judgment is that we are righteous. We are just. Isn't that something? So that's something that's really important to keep in mind as we're going to read this section in Romans. So let's go back to Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 18. It says in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Okay, this ungodliness and unrighteousness, that's what this section in Romans is going to deal with, and how it's dealt with by God's justice. Verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made or are understood by his workmanship." It's the only other place this word's used outside of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, where it says, "We are his workmanship in Christ." Okay? So these things are understood by his workmanship. "Even his eternal power and Godhead," or divine nature, "so that they are" what? "They're without excuse." Now this is going to come up again. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became foolish" or futile "in their reasonings." The word imaginations is reasoning. "And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they exchanged," the word change is exchanged, "they exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God into, and I should read, the lie. Into the lie. And that lie refers back to verse 23. Changing that glory of God into the image of men, birds. They started to worship the creation more than the Creator. You will be as gods. Isn't that something? And they worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections or passions of dishonor. For even their women did change the natural use or function into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use or function of the women burned in their lust or cravings, their desires, one toward another. Men with men, producing, working, or producing shame, is a good translation, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their delusion. The word error is delusion, which was meet. It was right. It was adequate. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge or their acknowledgement, God gave them over to an unfit mind, a reprobate or an unfit mind, to do those things which are not convenient, or to do improper things. Things that go against creation. Things that go against nature. You know, it's interesting. This section started out, and it says in verse 18, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what? In unrighteousness. See, they're without excuse. Boy, the world tells a real different story, doesn't it? And turns that around. See? But what's being revealed here, and it's going to keep going as we go, and this is really important to understand, is that man's without excuse because what God has set up as right is known. What God has set up as just is known. Something. The world will present these things in such a way as to make God appear unjust. Mm-hmm. Or as to make those who believe the true God as unjust. Okay. So, verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, sounds like the news, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding or senseless, covenant breakers, without natural affection, and then unmerciful, implacable is not in the critical Greek text, without natural infection, unmerciful, who knowing, and the word judgment is the word that means God's standard for justice or righteousness. Wow! Who knowing God's standard of righteousness, or God's standard of justice, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that what? That do them. Isn't that something? Knowing God's standard of justice or righteousness. Therefore, here we are again. Thou art what? Inexcusable, O man. Whosoever thou art that judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest do the same things, or practices the same. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. That judgment of God is according to what?
Truth.
That's right. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it's God that cannot lie. His judgment is true. This is going to come up again in this section. His judgment is true. He knows what he's saying. He knows what he's talking about. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what people say, this is the truth. Verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that thou judgest them which do the things, which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? The word goodness, it's a word that means it's a kindness displayed in benevolence and sweet disposition. That's what it means, his goodness. His kindness, his sweet disposition. You despise thou the riches of his sweet disposition, his kindness, and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads thee to repentance. See, and that word repentance means a change of mind. But after thy hardness and unrepentant heart, impenitent is unrepentant, treasureth up, you store up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will, now this is, I want you to get this, because there's an ellipsis coming up in the next few verses. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. Okay? This phrase, who will render, is the ellipsis. Now watch it. This is kind of neat. To them. Now this verse is translated a little backwards. It should read, to them who seek for glory and honor and patience continuance in well-doing, immortality, eternal life. That's where the ellipsis goes. Will be rendered immortality and eternal life. See it? Mm-hmm. But unto them that are contentious. That word contentious means they cause strife. And do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and what? And wrath. They will be rendered. Will render unto them indignation and wrath. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that works good, to the Judean first, and also to the Gentile. For there is what?
No
respect of persons with God. See, background has nothing to do with it. Has nothing whatever to do with it. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Now, I'm going to read verse 16 because 13 through 15 are our parentheses, and we're going to come back to that in a moment. Okay? So let me read this again. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Okay? That's that day of wrath. Now, we're going to go back to verse 13 and read the parentheses. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. Okay. Now, verse 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and make thy boast of God, and know his will, and approve the things that are more excellent or of greater value, being instructed out of the law. Now we're talking about the Judean who says, look, I'm a Jew. I'm a Judean. I was raised with the law of Moses. Okay. An instructor of the, and are confident, verse 9, that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that teachest a man that should not steal, do you steal? Thou that says a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhor idols, do you commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. This is taken from Ezekiel chapter 36. Verses 20 through 23. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to read that. You can keep your finger here. I can just read it to you. Ezekiel 36, verse 20. It says, and when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, wherever they went, they profaned thy holy name. And when they said to them, or when it was said of them, these are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of the land, but I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. Isn't that something? That's where it's taken from. You know, God was going to do what he promised to do, not for Israel, but for his own name's sake. See? Back to Romans. Verse 25, for circumcision verily profits, if you keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Now, he's speaking to Judeans. Here's the point. Judeans held circumcision as the end all. Do you understand? And what God is so wonderfully doing here, he's trying to point out, And we're going to see it in a moment here because it's going to be summarized in a few verses. That his justice, that which he has given to be believed, is the only way for a man to be righteous. That's something. The Judeans, even though they had the law, they had the circumcision, it's being shown for what it really is by way of these verses that we're reading right here. If an uncircumcised, which the Judean would consider to be a dog, were to do the law, would not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? See? It was the heart. And so that's what's being pointed out here. Verse 27. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? Wow. For he is not a Jew or a Judean, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of who? But of God. Now, chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Judean? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because of that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had the word. They could have known. God's word was first made available to Israel. And those of Israel who rose up, boy, who had the oracles of God, who had the prophecies concerning the Christ, when they believed and put that all together, it was like fireworks, baby. It was boom, 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 boom. See? And they could make known God's goodness, God's plan, God's intent, all the way from the fall. See? But a lot of Israel didn't believe. They didn't accept God's righteousness. They didn't accept his justice, which we're going to get into here in the book of Romans. Verse 3. For what if some did not believe? And this believing is believing regarding God's justice. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the believing, that foundation, that which is given to be believed of God, without effect or inactive? No, God forbid. Don't even say that. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Now, the way this is written here is a little tough to understand. Okay, it's taken from Psalm, and I'm going to read this, from Psalm 51, 4. Okay? Psalm 51:4. Verse 3 says, For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 4. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, meaning God, and be clear when thou judgest. See, that's what's being said here in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. It's referring to God being cleared when he judges. Verse 5. But if our unrighteousness commends or serves to confirm the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God's unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God... This is a little mixed up here in this verse also. It should read, for if the truth of God hath abounded unto his glory through my lie, why am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. That would be a misuse of grace, which is what they were being accused of here. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Are we better than the Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. These verses summarize what we've just read. This is the point. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Whether it's Judean, whether it's Gentile, all of man is in the same state. Then these next several verses affirm what has just been summarized. That there's none righteous, no, not one. And it's taken from different scriptures in the Old Testament. There is none that understands. There's none that seek after God. This is out of the Psalms. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And with their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that word fear is in the sense of reverence. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world might become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. No flesh made righteous in his sight. For by the law is the what? Is the knowledge of sin. See? And that it really ends this section. Now we're going to read on a little bit here because that's a rough way to end it. But by the law is the knowledge of sin. You know, it's a law that points out man's depravity. It's a law that points out man's unrighteousness, his need, his lack. See? Verse 21, but now we've talked about righteousness by law, righteousness by works. We've talked about man's unrighteousness, his willful rebelling against God, his holding the truth in unrighteousness, all these things. Verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God without law is what? Manifested. It's made clear, being testified to by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God by the faith or the believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. See? Doesn't matter. Background. Makes no difference. See? It's by the believing of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you know, as I said last week, that believing of Jesus Christ was the author and finisher of believing. He completely believed to accomplish all that needed to be accomplished according to God's word for man's redemption, for man's righteousness. And that's what Romans addresses. That's why it had to show the state that man is in. This is God's benevolence. This is his kindness. That all a man has to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's delivered from the wrath to come. He's delivered from the judgment of God. He's delivered from the consequences of man's state that resulted from the fall of Adam. Even the righteousness of God, which is by believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified or made righteous freely or without a cause by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, and that's that mercy seat, through believing or the believing in his blood, not the blood of bulls and of goats, but his blood, his shed blood, his life, to declare or to demonstrate his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare or to demonstrate again at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. That justice of God, which is in Jesus Christ, it's beautiful. A man believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is righteous. He stands before God without any sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation, which will become more clear as we read on in Romans. But that justice of God also dictates that those who reject God's righteousness, those who reject what Jesus Christ did, those who reject the sacrifice that God made in the giving of his Son on behalf of all mankind, receive the recompense of their unbelief. That's justice. And what makes it true justice is that God has given them a way out to simply accept his righteousness by believing. Man is without what? That's right. So where's boasting? It's gone. By what law? Of works? Nah. But by the law of believing. See, it's by believing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by believing without the deeds of the law. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. We believe on him who fulfilled the law and then sacrificed himself. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by believing and uncircumcision through the same believing. It's one gospel. Do we then make void the law through believing? God forbid. Yea, we set it. We cause it to stand. We establish the law. Through believing, see, its purpose. Isn't that something? So, you know, God has set in these, you know, opening sections of Romans, his justice, and that it's by believing. And then pointed out the state of man, and it didn't matter if that man, if his background was one of the nations, a Gentile, or if that man was a Judean and had the law of God, had the oracles, had the promises. Made no difference. They all come short of the glory of God. So what God did in his justice was provide a way by which all men could be made righteous before him by believing on that which he's given to be believed, which is Jesus Christ. And that's the gospel of God, according to Jesus Christ, or regarding Jesus Christ. Okay? So, that's a little bit on the beginning of Romans.